Our epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, and that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, How will anyone be able to satisfy these here in the desert with bread? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Calling his disciples together, he said to them, I have compassion on the multitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, as we are called to consider this miracle of our Lord, of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, I think it's good for us to look ahead and to see what followed. It draws a lesson for us, most clearly. After our Lord works this miracle, the Pharisees meet up with him just 2 verses later, and they ask our Lord for a sign. Give us a sign. He just worked a miracle. Over 4,000 people saw it, witnessed it, were a part of it. 4,000 men, not including counting women and children. And he tells them, he's not going to give them a sign. Why? Because they have eyes, but do not see, and ears, and they do not hear. Leaving there, he gets on a ship. And our Lord warns the apostles and the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And look at what they are about. They're about pomp and circumstance and about self-praise and not about God. Beware of it. And look at the apostles' response. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, Because we have no bread. He says, of all that big miracle, they only took 1 loaf with them. So they really didn't plan well. And because they were all worried about the 1 piece of bread that they had that they were going to have to split among themselves, when our Lord gave them the admonition to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought he was talking about bread, which Jesus knowing saith to them, Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet know nor understand? Have you still your heart blinded? Having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not? Neither do you remember? When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said to him, 12. When also the seven loaves among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took you up? They said to him, 7. And he said to them, how do you not yet understand? And in here lies the lesson for us. How many masses have we been to? How many times have we received the good Lord? How many times have we had our sins forgiven? Sins that we should have been placed in the depths of hell and easily forgiven by God. Through his poor and weak instruments, I'll give you that. But by Christ, in the holy sacrament which he instituted. Eyes but do not see, and ears but do not hear. It's important for us to realize that we exist in this moment. And in this moment, we are infinitely blessed because we are in the presence of Christ. As they were in the presence of Christ and heard him speak and saw the miracles that he performed. But we are far more blessed. We witness the greatest gift given to man in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Christ representing himself on the cross to the Heavenly Father for us, and then presenting himself for us to be one with him as we partake of that great sacrament. There's a few things to draw out when we read of this miracle that our Lord worked. The first thing is the blessing of sacrifice. These people came from a distance. They were hungry. Their homes, some of them were far away, so that our Lord said, if some of them start heading back home, they would faint. They made a sacrifice. They were willing to make the sacrifice in order to have a chance to see and to hear Christ. Just to hear the word. And because of that sacrifice, Christ had compassion. What sacrifice are we willing to make? Oh, granted, some come from a distance, and God bless them for that, and God will bless them for that. But how many times do we find so little excuse not to make the sacrifice in order to have closeness with Christ, to have communication with Christ, to perfect our union with Christ? Second thing, when Christ sees the effort made, any type of effort, he has compassion. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. The sheep that is lost, he goes after that sheep to find it. Caught in the rambles, struggling to get out, he has compassion. He knows our needs. To our weakness, he is no stranger. But this is where we have to study and examine our faith in Christ, our trust in Christ, our attitude towards God's will. You have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. It's not a faith in ourselves, it's a faith in him. He who is here. He who we will receive in Holy Communion in a few moments. Trust in his word, in his promises. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, I will refresh you. God's will? Do we accept it? Or we complain about it? Yes, there's a lot of problems in the moment that we live. But this is God's permissive will. Whether it's God's permissive will or his active will, we have to accept it. This is how we are taught to pray by him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But those aren't just words that we let roll off of our tongues. This is a way of life we have to. What is it St. Thomas Aquinas says? God doesn't want evil, but allows it. And because he allows it, it is good. Because it's God's will. Because God's will is good. Because he is good. We don't have to understand it. And number three, cooperation. Look at what Christ pays attention to. He doesn't pay attention to what they didn't have. He paid attention to what they had. How many loaves have you? We, by nature, our fallen human nature, we always pay attention to what we don't have. And we don't pay half as much attention as we should to what we do have. But if we would, we would see we are infinitely blessed because we have him. We are blessed to be witnesses of the great miracle of the Mass. We have been given the grace and the opportunity to abide one with him in time. In a difficult time, but in time. And no difficulty is too great when we have him. So, my dear friends in Christ, as we continue with Holy Mass today, let us recognize where we are, what we have. Let us make good use of it. Humbly approach Christ and show appreciation for receiving him by being willing instruments, for that's God's will. Not to just take Christ from the priest's hands, but to take Christ back to our pews, into our hearts, back to our homes, and out into the world, so that we might live our vocation, which is to be light in the darkness. As Christ said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.